Welcome to Keith and the Girl. I'm Keith Malley.
I'm Chemda.
Hello, Chemda.
Hello. Happy Father's Day.
Well, thank you for saying that. It's Keith and the Girl, episode 3552. The great Murph Meyer will join us in a little bit. The last show we did was titled Vicious Lies, when we talked about the Atlantic article that talked about gold and the FBI, and my dad felt spiritual powers and told people where lost gold would be.
And he was found that gold, and he didn't chase after it, but he absolutely 100% got some sort of vision. Yes. Or however he works.
He spoke in tongues. He told me the 700 Club was bullshit. The guy, my dad, speaks in tongues. I just learned. There's always something new. I keep learning.
You know who else speaks in tongues? Babies. Because yes. It's gibberish. It's absolutely such a good time. And if you're at home by yourself or with someone that you feel safe with, speak in tongues for a minute. Time yourself. It's so fun. You will fully understand why people do it.
And you can go to theatlantic.com and find the article now. It's also going to be in their print version, their July, August print version. That's a funny thing newspapers and magazines do. They always just jump months ahead. Like, this is the December issue. I'm like, really? How? Are they ready for a vacation at any time?
Well, we talked about the article in our last episode, and it talks about how you and your dad are fighting. They're quoting you fighting. What we didn't mention is that your father's picture is in this article, and it's not the regular picture that he's been using for years. That means I picture that someone came to his house and took his photograph. He extra feels, you know, super about himself because, you know, this is the media coming to my house to take a picture. Yeah. That's not your dad taking his own picture, right?
Correct. No, somebody came, took the picture. He's very excited about this. And in it, they explained how. So we called his son about this ESP thing, knowing about the show Keith and the Girl. And he says that his dad's a psychopath. So yes, he's not able to frame this article, but I will send him the print version just to say. So he saw this, you know, as we mentioned, and wrote to me, and we haven't been talking ever since the catfishing excitement, where he wrote my ex-wife behind my back. My ex-wife said to me, "What the fuck?" And I said, "Please let me take over and pretend I'm you." She said, "I don't know why you're still in my life, you know, but sure, whatever you like." And then that adventure, you know, went on for a full year easily. Then I told him it's me. Then, you know, it still went on a little bit, but blah, 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 blah. And we don't talk. So every so often he tries to throw something in out of the blue. Like I said this on, I think, Diamond Dogs that's recently released. It might seem like I'm the troll, but I'm just laying under the bridge. He keeps coming under the bridge. And he writes, for example, "I can't put into words what I think about your comments to the Atlantic magazine interviewer." And I said, "Wah, and thanks for letting me know it's out." Here's what's new. He wrote back, "Say, how's your math?" And he starts talking about the percentage of gold he's going to get after the FBI admits that they stole it from these people he met. "What is 600 tons times the number of troy ounces to the ton times the price of gold per ounce times 10% finder's fee times 25% his cut? I don't know what these other numbers are. Is it still funny now?"
Couple of things on that. One, does he know what that equals? Because I don't think so. I think he's just throwing numbers.
Let's just say a lot.
And number two, this reminds me of when he wrote some Christian book and did also very special math, where it's like, well, if I'm writing a Christian book and there are a babillion Christians in the world, if only 1% of them buy my book, which obviously they're looking for every written word about Christianity, then I'm going to be rich. So you're still waiting for that percentage to happen as his child. Right. Never mind this new math that he's giving you, where we're out of high school for quite some time and I feel like we're about to take a Regents. I don't know that we should be worrying about it. Plus, this is Father's Day weekend where he's like, "You don't want to talk to me? How about for $1 million? And it's like, well, this should not... If you're a father, you should not speak to your child like that, like as if we're teenagers going like, would you rather not have a father who continuously abuses you or $1 million, but you evades? Like, come on.
That's how all my would you rathers end. Yeah. I'll just take the orange juice. Well, it was AIDS orange juice. You fucked up. Should have licked the car tire. But yeah, I'm going to... So, I do want the money. Dad, sorry in that case. Forgiven. We can be friends now and never bring up the catfishing. I'm not talking to you for literally millions of dollars. So anybody telling me that I'm exaggerating about this Live Golf, L-I-V Golf, the Saudi Arabia thing, they're saying like, Keith, you would take the money. I won't talk to my dad for millions. I wrote back, please forgives. Fuck you. And that's where we're at now. Then he wrote my brother, Ken, and we're going to record Daddy Issues later on this week. It's very exciting. The back and forth is so thrilling.
Oh, my God. Keith read me some of the back and forth between his brother, Ken, and the father, because Ken was mentioned in this article. And what happens is when Keith's dad tries to poke Keith and it doesn't work, because once you know you're being abused, you're like, no, I already called this a while ago. We're not like erasing history and starting over at the point where you feel comfortable. This happened already. So he tries to go to another sibling and go, can you believe your brother is not being a good person? And now even the siblings are on board. Look, you keep telling us these lies. And the stuff that Ken said in these emails, so beautiful, because you're trying to stay strong, stay separate, and not let this like seep into you like how religion does, you know, where it's like, how could this be bad? Is this my father? How could it be bad? Millions of people believe in Jesus. Like, stop. I already know the truth and you can't take it away from me anymore.
On Diamond Dogs, Craig talks about, you know, what it'd be like to go to the FBI offices and pick up 600 tons of gold. I hope I'm not in the wrong line.
Because, you know, the FBI, their first thing is to call Father Malley. Sir, we want to thank you. In fact, we have some Purple Heart type shit, even though you were never in war in the army. Whatever. You're just that good. Do you speak to God directly? You do. I sensed it. You seem very godlike, Father Malley. That's how he wants people to talk to him, no matter what his actions are. Go fuck yourself, sir.
Well, speaking of Father's Day,
This is a segue, speaking of Father's Day on this show. Okay?
Well, on Father's Day, my dad sent the article to the other three siblings. And I know that's so that he's hoping me calling my dad a psychopath in a national, if not, you know, because the internet worldwide article, The Atlantic on Twitter has over 2 million subscribers that, you know, that follow these stories. What was I just saying?
He sent it to your other siblings, to the three of
them.
He sent it.
I was picturing my dad's face. My brain broke.
It throws you. Yeah.
He sent it to the other three articles, hoping that they'd be mad, going like, well, saying psychopath is too much. And so that it's just a reminder, tell me happy Father's Day. He's the kind of guy that would be like, oh, really, Your Honor? Then why do I have this mug that says number one dad? Explain that. They don't give it to just anyone.
Meanwhile, it's a shirt that's like 50 years old because all your children are grown and have not given you that sentiment again since, have they?
No. So, yes, that'll be very, very fun. He's some detective. He always does these detective stuff. But I was looking at an old show that we did. I was checking out the titles. Jingling Libido is the title of one of our shows. In parentheses, Jesus Dad Just Stop. Like, Dad, take an interest in your son's business. God damn it. Oh, well. Let me tell you this. This is good timing then. BetterHelp. Online therapy. You know what I'm talking about. In fact, I do use BetterHelp. I am a big fan of it. That's true. I called my therapist today and he said, new dad stuff? Tell me. he goes, tell him the fuck off. No, I'm just kidding. They're very professional. But I enjoy BetterHelp very much. Life is overwhelming. You've seen it. You've been part of it. Burnt out yet? Lack of motivation, irritability, fatigue, feelings you're not realizing?
By the way, all of these can be everybody else's fault. You can right now, before you go to therapy, you can go, everyone's acting up. I'm going to therapy. Fully legitimate reason to start therapy. Yes, you're irritated. It's probably not because of you. It's other people. Tell that to your therapist. They'll help you figure it out.
BetterHelp is customized online therapy that offers video, phone, and even live chat sessions with your therapist, so you don't have to see anyone on camera if you don't want to. It's much more affordable than in-person therapy. I think it'd be the opposite, but it's not. And you can be matched with a therapist in under 48 hours. That's also a lot of leeway that they're given when they say it's even faster than that. They just, want to play it safe, you know. Our listeners get 10% off their first month at betterhelp.com/KATG. That's betterhelp.com/KATG. All right. Here he is. I'm going to stop the teasing. I'm going to start the pleasing. He's the host of Self-Medicated Pod, the podcast, selfmedicated.com, you can go to. Murph Meyer. Hello, Murph.
Hello, hello. Keith, Hamda, thank you so much for having me.
Well, first off, congrats. I see here. I subscribe to Murph Meyer is Self-Medicated.
Sure.
And you just completed episode 6. Each one has different parts. So, like, let's say episode, you know, 1 through 6. 1A is him for like 15, 20 minutes produced, and he tells you what's going on in the drug community. You know, well, why the war on drugs, all this kind of thing. And then the second part B is an interview with people that are fucked up, right? We don't say that, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, sure.
And
we can say that.
And you call it completing season 1. Congrats.
Yeah. Hey, thank you so much. Thank you.
I'm telling you.
Yeah, season 2 is going to be starting up very soon. It's going to be a weekly show that's all just the more of the interview type stuff.
Because
I shot my wad on the highly produced. Yeah, that's, I mean, you know, you get how many of those do you get?
Right. It's so hard, right? Is that what you're saying? Like, so time consuming.
Yes. Yeah. It's very time consuming. But yeah, pulling a lot of the clips and doing everything. It's a whole thing. But, you know, it was enjoyable to do once. Almost drove myself mad, but now I'm going to do kind of the rinse and repeat, you know, weekly type of show. So that's going to start up.
Right. Yeah, well, you'll call it something different than rinse and repeat by them. But, you know, we get
Yeah, sure. Weekly dose. Self-medicated weekly dose is what
weekly
I'm calling it.
Weekly dose. Like that.
I picture when you're producing your show, Murph, if you put in like a clip and then all of a sudden you didn't time something right and everything else needs to be readjusted. It's too much. Just talk to people.
Way too much. Keep it fast and loose. I feel that's a better way to...
Has your family heard you talking about drugs should be okay? You think heroin should be legal? And is that some awkward phone calls?
It really is, because a lot of my family is you know, has been in the AA pipeline,
right?
Or NA pipeline. So, you know, there's different schools of thought on that. It's interesting that a lot of people have kind of come around, just at least on the idea of, like, we're just talking about a non-judgmental, you know, approach to each person doing the best they can, because this is like a real fucked up ride. Anyone who's been on it knows how bad that is. So I feel like we kind of have to have each other's backs on that. But you know, there's a little bit of shade thrown back and forth. My aunt, one aunt in particular, I won't name her by name, but
the shade now.
And another one of my aunts who's dead, so I can't name her by name.
They'd figure out who, right?
yeah. So yeah, it's been. But I feel like you know, after listening to it and kind of sitting with it for a while, you know, it's. I think people have really come around on it.
So what's shade like, though? Like a text, like, still doing that bullshit?
Yeah, it's like, or like, you know, I mean, I even think of like holidays. I mean, I haven't seen them more recently since the podcast has come out. But even beforehand, it would be like, you know, my aunt would just be like, lean over and be like, well, you know, you're not really sober. You know, I know you haven't used heroin in 15 years, but you put some whiskey in that eggnog I saw there. So, you know, you're not sober. I just wanted to let everyone know that, like, just for the record. And I was like, all right, for whatever record. From you know, my eggnog to God's ears, whatever.
Is this person sober?
Yes. She did the AA. She's very, and for probably like 40 years. I mean, she's very hardcore.
I've gotten that. I've quit drinking, but I smoke weed. And the anybody who tells me, you know, that's not sobriety. It's because, and I know why. It's not really even about me. It's about them. They're very proud. They did such a good, hard job.
Yep,
and it's like, just so you know. It's not the real fucking deal. Like,
that's all right. I don't need the badge or the chip or whatever you guys exchange at those things.
By the way, speaking of production, Hamda's internet keeps going out. So we lose her every so often, but you won't even know. We're going to trick you as we go, see what happens. Let me say this then. Happy June 19th. Happy Juneteenth. How did you celebrate, Murph Meyer?
Me? You know, I feel like I just kind of leave a lot of that stuff. You know, it's like, celebrating the freedom of Black folks in America, you know, I mean, that's something that I don't like to do the aggressively white woke kind of thing on that, because I feel like a lot of that's performative. But
I fucked up. I didn't try to be performative, but I had a Juneteenth barbecue and I had a sign out that said only Black people, and it was very ill received.
Yeah, you know, it's like that's the thing. You try. There's always, you know, you're gonna end up with your feet in some hot water there if you try to do a segregated Juneteenth bar.
I was walking to the store. I nodded to every Black person, especially. It's like the whole. I really blew the whole fucking thing, and then I'm thinking, like, what? But you know, again, it's not for the white people, especially, right? So, so that's why I knew I had to come to work.
Sure. And you're also not offering Black folks any change in their material conditions at all. It's more of just like. I mean, it started with this, like, you know, well, we're requesting that you stop just indiscriminately murdering us in police departments across the country. And the response to that was like, you know what, federal holiday. Federal holiday. Right. Look, you got it. Fine. That's fine. That's fine.
Now,
yeah. So
I was going to say, Hemda is a person of color, so she'll be in and out during this show every so often. Right, Hemda?
I'm celebrating Juneteenth in my own way.
It would be weird the government started doing blood tests who has to go to work and who doesn't. So I guess it's got to be across the board. I do understand that. What are you going to do? Murph, I'm listening to your show. I heard you moved from Brooklyn to Northeast Pennsylvania.
That's right. And now we moved again. We moved a couple times a year out into Portland. We're in Portland, Oregon now, where my wife is from. That's where we had our baby out here in Portland. So it was a hell of a whiplash move from Brooklyn to coal country, Pennsylvania, now out here in Portland, Oregon.
Does this make it hard for any Hollywood dreams being in a Pennsylvania? I mean, they have planes everywhere, so who cares? But is this like I'm going
VO
family?
Auditioning has like really changed. So I get to still do that from home on camera. I'm getting like older and more haggard. Like some of these auditions, it's like a little bit of a slog. So I don't know. Okay. I have, you know, the auditioning thing. I don't miss the grind on that every day. But yeah, I'm taking a different angle, man. They don't let me come through the front door no matter what. So it's like I got to find it.
How old's the baby now?
She's 7 months, a little over 7 months.
What'd you get
did
for Father's
Day? Did she wish you a happy Father's Day or was
she
it?
She did.
Rude?
Yeah, she did. I'm going by Papa, or I've been trying to, but she was started saying Dada like 2 days before Father's Day.
So just I was in like, time.
Well, yeah, I'm like, I'll take a Dada.
Let me ask you this then. Is this the country where you're at, or definitely not a big city? Am I right or wrong?
Yeah, in Portland.
Where are you not? You're in Portland. I'm in Portland now.
Yeah.
Oh, Portland, you are. Okay. I misunderstood. Okay.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. When we were in Pennsylvania, it was it's a smaller Northeast PA.
Well, my question is, what's the difference? I'm from the country, but I'm in New York City now. Of course. You know, everybody's talking about it. Is there a difference between? I have three stepkids. Is there a difference between drugs being dangerous in the city as opposed to the country? Maybe I was just a dork and people didn't introduce me to drugs, but now I'm an adult and I see things, but it's in the city. There's drugs everywhere. You can take the subway coming home from school and do whatever the fuck you want, quite frankly. Is there a difference between drugs and especially kids and the city and the country?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I feel like when I didn't go to college, but some of my friends who did said that a lot of the people they met, the city kids, you know, were the only other kinds of kids who maybe went as hard as we did, you know, coming from coal country. I guess there's like probably like well-to-do suburbs maybe where there's not, at least there wasn't, you know, as much. I think now it's pretty much everywhere, it seems like. But when you say when you were a kid and you were young and a dork, I mean, let's both be honest, or the two of us, that was a little ways ago when we were kids.
I assumed my town didn't have drugs. And I'm but you have to assume they did, right? And I just wasn't invited.
Yes, I think so.
But also, couldn't it have been more of a drinking town? Like maybe.
Oh yeah, when you say no drugs, right? Good call. You're talking about no weed and booze, or I mean,
no booze, of course. I didn't know about anything else, cocaine, anything.
But didn't you know about you know, accidents and deaths because of alcohol and
alcohol?
Kind of
sure. No, I understand.
I think these small places, because a specific drug didn't infiltrate their little town or little country town, then they're free and clear. But what they're not noticing is the addicts are not necessarily just addicted to that. There's so much more. And booze is counted separately for some reason. But a lot of people are responding with booze in your town because that's what they had access to, because they're a little more segregated than outer places where the drugs are coming in.
Well, that's, of course, you know, the big thing. And you talk about this, Murph, is, you know, it's funny. Drugs are so scary, but we know what alcohol does. Mm-hmm. You know, it's evil. It's a trick. But if my stepkids were going to get into one of them, I'd rather right now it's alcohol, so you at least pay the price the next morning. Not weed, where you're just wasting your life, but the next day, you're fine and you forget.
The slow roll.
Yeah, I'd rather you fucking vomit every morning, can barely keep your eyes open, and start realizing, whoa.
Well, but I feel like... Would you want things? I think part of the thing with alcohol is because it's regulated too. You know, you have a clean supply. You know what it is. Right. Even as a kid, you're still figuring out, you know, what the hell is this wild turkey 101 proof. You know, you figure your proofs out pretty quick. But in terms of like the actual what it is they're getting, because now the worst part of all of it is just it's a poison drug supply. So people don't, you know, because it's been pushed into the shadows, that doesn't stop people from using it. It just kind of makes people, you know, use it in a more dangerous setting. So I think that's another issue with
but then drugs. What about the fact that, you know, we say like, oh, they're only on alcohol. I think that becomes more dangerous. I wonder if I had a kid, Would I be more nervous about them drinking alcohol at 16 or smoking weed at 16? I don't know that, like,
alcohol.
Alcohol seems very nerve-wracking. Yeah. It seems like, yes, you have the throw up afterwards, but if you have that gene where you're an alcoholic right away. And that throw up, that hangover, that blackout, it's not stopping you. Those are not the things that stop addiction.
I say instead of weed and alcohol, how about communication?
Well, I mean, slow down. Doing lines of communication over here.
We're not talking about the miracle drug. We're talking about regular drugs.
Right.
Let's see, your kid's 7 months. Is that too young to talk about drugs?
No, we've started the chat. I mean, look, when you start getting into, I know Hemda said earlier about the kind of babbling stuff that's, I don't know if this was off mic, but yeah, that's the idea of like just being able to just kind of let loose and be like, yeah, man, we don't need, there's no pretense here. We can just kind of shoot the breeze. So yeah, after, you know, a few weeks of that where it's just you and this little person, you start kind of just talking to them. So yeah, I floated some drugs. You'll hear the podcast at some point and be right. Horrified.
Are you nervous about drug conversations? Because like it's you know, being so young, would they even understand the idea of harm reduction? Yeah. Meaning just do a little bit of drugs.
Sure. That's an interesting thing too. There's a woman I talked to from a Drug Policy Alliance when I was doing the podcast, where they have this safety first program. It's kind of the opposite of what the DARE program was, which was just scare tactics and lies. So I think the moment kids realize they smell bullshit, they're like, all right, well, then this whole thing was like, well, no, you missed an opportunity now to tell them about some of the actual dangers here. But, you know, presented in a way where you respect them and you realize their kids are going to do shit.
Same thing with sex. There's lies and guilt. And once you find out, especially as a female growing up in the era that I did, once you find out they were wrong about what sex is going to be and what it's going to feel like, everything gets thrown out the window, including the warnings that I should have heeded. I couldn't tell the difference anymore. Now everything you say is a lie. So I'm going exactly the opposite, where you were right about some things. God damn it. You want your parents to be like all wrong or all right, but there are some things that they were right about, but you shouldn't have lied.
It's true. I mean, I think anyone who didn't question their parents as soon as, you know, if you grew up in a Christian household with Santa Claus, I think the moment that was revealed, if you didn't have a little bit of all of a sudden, no, it's all unraveling now, then like, you need to practice some more critical thought.
It is crazy how adults vote knowing that it's funny that I think people vote as if they don't live in the world that we live in. Yeah. You know, I'm sure if you caught me when I was young, I'd be like, a building that you go to that the government is in charge of that you do heroin in. That's real smart. And then you get older and you're like, but people are going to do heroin. Yeah, you try to deal with them psychologically and keep it safe as that's going on. You know, people are, you know, these reproductive rates that we're seeing going on. It's like, well, the kids just abstain. It's like, did you abstain? What world do you live in where kids don't want to fuck?
Yeah, what world do you live in? That a fantasy world,
right? It's a fantasy world. What world do you live in where a grown woman doesn't want to feel what sex is without a condom or high priced birth control?
What planet is this? It's true. It's why you got to kind of hit people when the discourse is happening. You got to kind of hit them from every angle where you just say, and I've reached people on this level where it's like maybe they will just always judge people who use drugs. Maybe they will always feel some kind of way, even though there's probably plenty of hypocrisy there. Right. Regardless with alcohol or whatever it is, their drug of choice, or maybe they are completely abstinent and they're just, you know, a Bible banging and they're coming from a moral standpoint, whatever it is, from a public policy standpoint, you're like, here's your options. Now, if you don't want to just wrangle everybody up, throw them in a sack and light them on fire and throw them in the river, which some people would be like, maybe we should, let's look cost benefit analysis.
Yeah, we tried that too. That didn't, well, I don't know.
That's what I'm saying. That literally doesn't work. Yeah. No, I mean, there's other countries, you know, Duarte has done that. His war on drugs has been like that level of just shooting people indiscriminately in the streets as an authoritarian.
Where's that?
And that doesn't work. So,
I know and you know, but for those who don't, what country?
In the Philippines. Okay. Yeah. And the Philippines has done a very, very hardcore, like true war on drugs in terms of like, you know, judge, jury, and executioner. He'll just send out death squads to shoot people in the streets who are using anywhere near drugs, all of that. And it's been a bloodbath for like over a decade and it doesn't work. So if
that sounds like he just wants to shoot people in the face.
Well, right.
That sounds like that's just your thing to do.
Yeah. And he's given some sort of moral, but again, if you follow the logic far enough, you're like, either you're kind of in the middle, pissing away public funding in some way. People are like, oh, the taxes and none of this is working. And we're, you know, we built new prisons and we have people, because America's war on drugs has been pretty intense, short of like just straight up firing on people in the streets. But again, if we don't go all the way, and we've seen what happens when you go all the way, then you look at another country where it's like, you know, they have, you know, done more harm reduction measures, decriminalizing, and you see that working from a public health standpoint. It's like, yeah, people are still going to be using drugs, but there's just so many more problems and a suck of public resources where even if you have to meet people on the level of like, yo, man, it's wasting your taxes. Like, I don't need you to give a shit about people you've never met. Like, yeah, that's on you. Like, I don't know what's missing in your life, that there's more hate than love in your heart, but you work that out. But also it's a huge waste of money. So what do you want to do here?
I think you specifically, your kids are going to ask to do drugs with you. Would you do it?
Yeah, I would do drugs. You know what? I want to think that because I want to be like, cool. But who really wants to do drugs with their parents?
Like, they just want to do drugs, older. Period. I've been asked by, like, I have stepkids and, you know, and the mom doesn't want them doing drugs. But one of them said, hey, you want to smoke, Keith? And I'm like, do you know, you're a young teenager and do you understand why I can't?
Yes.
Do you understand that? So, yeah, I assume that they really, yeah, you want to do.
Yeah, they probably would.
One of them wants to get a tattoo. The mom says no. And it goes, but okay, mom, but you have a tattoo. I'll get the one you have. And it's like, you don't even want it. You just want a tattoo so bad. You'll get what mom has so that she'll cave thinking it's lovely.
That's a good, yeah. See, they know what they're doing. They're angling from everyone.
So they are going to ask. No, they don't want to, but if it's the only option to do drugs with the parents, they'll do it.
Yeah, I think a straightforward conversation is always better. Even though it might feel awkward. I mean, it's the same with like sex education. Like, there's things that you'd be like, I don't really want. It's a little awkward, but I feel like just being truthful and giving that kind of respect just goes a long way with kids. I don't know. I think you lie to them and you lose them.
If you do a little heroin with them, will you tell me?
Just a little bit of dope. I will tell you for sure.
Okay, thank you.
I'll be cool, Dad.
Hey, what's the deal? Cool, totally different. But speaking of fucking crazy, you're a pro wrestling fan. You still watch?
No, I haven't in a long time. Okay. I grew up a big fan.
I was curious if you followed this Vince McMahon story.
No, what's going on with fucking
Vince? I'm not too sure. I was hoping you knew. It's he hired a woman. I'm not sure what exactly she did. Paid her, what was the first? I think the first payment was $100,000 a year she was making. Next year, whatever the fuck her job is, $200,000 a year. And then she did so good in the third year, she got a $3 million bonus. Apparently, whoops, that's hush money for rape. I was curious, is he turning that into a storyline? Because
I'm sure he would. He's turned it all into a story. He conflated 9/11, if you recall, with his kind of in the media about like coming after him and patriotism. Do you remember that? That was like the right after 9/11 that WWF came back. Monday Night Raw was like very soon after or whatever. And they conflated, they had Stephanie McMahon on there being like, America has been attacked just like my father has been attacked by like the New York Post.
Right.
I would say, yeah, he'll probably spin that into a storyline if he could. Also, you know, when the top comes, like once you get that off, I'm like, this has just got to be the beginning for McMahon. I mean, he's a billionaire. Right. So did you know any billionaires who are on the up and up? I certainly don't.
I honestly do not. And my dad's a billionaire. Yeah. I saw on Netflix, speaking of drugs, there's a new movie out called Spiderhead. And anytime it goes straight to Netflix, you know, like, even though it's the great Chris Hemsworth, who doesn't love him.
And it's the great Netflix. Let's not, my favorite platform.
To go there for TV shows. All those movies blow. If they didn't blow, they'd be in movie theaters. That's a fact.
Yeah, Hemsworth. If you got Hemsworth in there and it's not on the big screen, I wonder what's going on.
But anyway, it's based on the New Yorker article. You know, New Yorker, he's got the fancy top hat with the magnifying glass studying a butterfly for some fucking reason. He seems like a real asshole, doesn't he?
Yeah, New Yorker guy. Yeah, he's an elitist prick for sure.
I've been interviewed by him once. He's like, hello. You claim it's a record of shows. I'm like, I don't claim it. God damn it.
You're like, you don't need that monocle.
But it's based on a short story that was in the New Yorker that I'll explain to you. But it's an hour and 47 minutes. I'm always amazed when a movie sucks and it's longer than an hour and a half. Look at the finished product and go, oh, we could cut out a lot. All you want is eyes on Netflix. It's not about time. It's about the different shows you're given.
Take a cue from the direct-to-video market of the 80s. It was like those movies were like a 76-minute sprint some of them, you know, that were bad B movies. They knew what they were doing.
I love the idea. It was about a without giving anything away too much. It was about a jail, a prison in the future, but you can volunteer for freedoms by testing out pharmaceutical drugs. And then the surprise, surprise, even more shady business is going on.
The very near future.
The woman in it, Journey.
Yeah, we're living in the now.
Right. Yeah, that's also kind of happening.
Yeah.
Journey Smollett is in this, and you know, I dig her. She's easy on the eyes and a good actress. And I'm like,
oh, Journey Smollett.
No, Journey. Well, that's what I thought too. And I'm like, oh, you're only two letters away from Jesse, who's always in the news. That must be a bummer. So I look it up. She's his sister. They're siblings. I'm like, that's got to be. So what do you do? Like, I see her on set, and I'm like, has the family?
Yeah.
Like, that's going to be so uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And she's on his side, it seems, after some Googling. But at the same time, you wouldn't hear me shitting on my brother, even if the whole thing made me vomit.
No,
although
you
we did start the show with an article about how you and your father are, quote, hating each other. And I know he's not in the same industry, but, you know, it's awkward, but it's like, man, I have to go on with my life.
No, he would have to be a real asshole to her. Yeah, like it sounds like this MAGA bullshit lie he made up was out of character. That, you know, that's
what the fuck. Yeah, that was a strange story. I remember too, and it kind of came in and went, and then came back again.
Yeah, no, that's probably him in jail and out and in jail now.
Right. Yeah, as long as their relationship, you're right though. As long as maybe his she's like, I don't know, whatever he was going through there. I'd have my, you know, my family's back, of course, first and foremost.
I don't know how much I'd have their back, but you would assume that I have their back.
Yeah, working in the same industries would be tough, especially the cesspool that is Hollywood industry.
Right. By the way, we mentioned this story fairly recently. The movie Morbius that was in theaters did blow, and then online people started making jokes like, "Oh, Morbius, so good! It's Morbin time." You might have seen trend, and they're making memes and all this stuff. In fact, Jared Leto plays Morbius. You know, he's trying to make fun of himself so other people don't. And he's reading the script, the second script, you know, this for the second movie of Morbius. Yeah. And then the Sony, who produced Morbius, goes, let's put it back in theaters then. Now it'll be a joke movie. Mm-hmm. Like The Disaster Artist or something like this, right? You know, sure, the original
Sharknado.
The Room. Sharknado, right. Nobody went to the theater and they blew even more money. Now online...
I didn't even watch it online. I just soaked it in from the memes. You ever have some movies where you're like, I think I got it. I got it just from the,
There's one of those at change.org.
Mm-hmm.
The title is, "We were all busy that weekend. Please bring Morbius to a theater for a third time." Oh, it has its over 15,000 signatures. So we'll see. Oh.
Sony, any thoughts on those 15,000 people?
Here's where I am about how much I don't know names and movies and things like that. Every time you bring up Morbius, I'm like, oh, there's some kind of Matrix thing coming out where it's relying on. And then I'm like, no, that's Morpheus. Okay. All right. I'm here.
You're like, what was it about Lawrence Fishburne? Some movie that he was
like, oh, good for him. That character is having a spinoff.
The Flash star Ezra Miller. We played that video of him, audio of him being arrested, of course. You know, I'm transgender binary, and if you mistake it again, that's a hate crime, and you'll be the one under arrest. Well, yeah, but you're the one under arrest for spitting on people and throwing chairs and all this stuff. You'll be under arrest. Okay. Please don't take my Flash ring. It's very valuable. You know. And but it's more and more trouble. It's not just strange violence. He's with 12-year-olds. He's on the... we don't know exactly what that means, but it doesn't sound good. And then the cops are looking for him and can't find him. And he goes on Instagram and mocks them and then just deleted the Instagram. They always come back, you know, so we'll see. But this Flash movie didn't even come out yet. DC's like, God,
we got to put
it out, but what? So he'll be kicked out after that comes out, if it even comes out now.
Right. Yeah, it's really tough too when you feel like people, when you get that much fame and that much money, if you don't have your head on straight going into it, which I certainly would like to think to finally in my life I do, but when I was like a young teenager, like, you know, you start getting, if you're not doing so hot and you end up getting that kind of money and that kind of fame, it's like, that's a recipe for disaster.
It does
sound
like
a recipe for 12-year-olds.
It does sound like either a psychotic break or
But he's not 12 for the record. I don't know if there was confusion. He's not 12. He's a grown adult.
No. Yeah,
not that part. Like a psychotic break, or he always was like this and now there are cameras on him.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking about the 12-year-old thing. I'm talking about like calling yourself out and being loud about your crimes and that kind of thing. Like, why are you so feeling your strength on this very terrible thing? Why don't you think bad things are going to happen? Why are you being so loud about your criminal behavior? It's very strange.
The ego, again, just to be like kind of in that thing. It's like that Marvel. Is Flash Marvel? Is that Marvel property?
DC. Marvel's the one who does everything right. DC can't keep it. You know, Amber Heard, Wonder Woman. They're just having horrible luck. It's not their fault, but shit. Like, God damn it.
They keep backing the wrong ponies.
Yeah. So now they have to go through this script and check for anything, you know, that otherwise, you know, probably wouldn't ring a bell. Like, check for sexuality. Does he say anything about kids? Are there drugs in it? Is there bullying? He doesn't spit on anybody, does he?
Yeah, that's that the retroactive before it comes out. That's probably the cut is going to be a little bit different there. You view a lot of people's crimes in real life and go back in their movies. That'd be a fun experiment.
Well, he was in the movie We Need to Talk About Kevin, and that was where he was a kid. That was probably his big break. It was an artsy film, but probably his big break. And he was the movie starts where the kid just committed a school shooting. The neighborhood, of course, hates, you know, the mom when she goes out to the grocery store, this kind of thing. But he has such a creepy stare in his eye. They go back in the past and you see this kid grow up. He has a creepy look that he gives off so well that I guarantee the directors was like, that's our kid. And well, we don't live with him.
and
action.
Give me.
But yeah, the clues are there sometimes. That's all I know. Here's a fun story. It is fun, Kenda.
Is it?
I think so. Students at, unless you believe in God, students at Seattle Pacific University handed their interim president rainbow pride flags during a commencement ceremony Sunday instead of shaking his hand in protest of a school policy that bars the hiring of LGBTQ people.
You can have that?
I bet you just do it. Oh, you can have that law in the first place? I didn't think you could. About 50 students were given pride flags before arriving at the ceremony.
Oh, yeah, I saw this. Yeah.
It started just as a conversation among students.
Say we're not hiring LGBTQ.
I don't know how it's nice try. Anyway, she'll be back. It started just as a conversation among students that we didn't really want to shake the president's hand at graduation. So we thought, what can we do instead of that? And the idea came up, why don't we hand out a pride flag? So they had those, you know, little handheld flags. I would miss the flags being given out somehow. I just fucking know it. And I'd be on there. It's my turn. And I'm like, I don't have a fucking flag. Do I bow? No, that's extra respect. Do I punch him in the face? Like,
do I give him a ball tap or something on the way?
I didn't get the email about the flags. God damn it.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you don't want to be caught flagless in that situation.
Right. Yeah. I don't know how.
Fuck you. That's a great. I just vicariously lived through as like a youth doing that to it. Yeah. That'd be a lot of fun to give him a nice fuck you on the way out the door.
Yeah, don't you wish when you were younger you had the balls to make these kinds of decisions? Like, wait, this guy doesn't matter. If we band together, we can do this gentle protest that's not hitting anyone, that's not like really yelling at them, just going like, we're not on your side, we're going to be over here.
Yeah, it's a fun collective action. It's fun to watch that.
I enjoy it very, very much. Now.
That was a fun story. Sorry, Keith.
Right? Yeah. Right? Yeah, no, I don't know. I don't know how it's legal for whether you're something called a private university or not that you could say, no, I'm not hiring LGBT. You're right. I can use a little heroin. This is the world we live in.
Yes, this is why. I mean, this is why I started shooting up in the first place.
But no drugs or sex, folks. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. You want to download the podcast? Murph Meyer is Medicated. You enjoyed and appreciate all the work he went through on these production shows. I'll tell you that. You know, Henta can't even get out if LGBTQ is legal to not hire these people, and we're just talking. So good for
you.
Can
I ask you like a kind of serious question on the way out? If you know someone who's addicted to something and they're on that thing, and you know, it doesn't like they know they're on that thing. You're not like surprising them with like, by the way, I know. Yeah, we all know. What do you do? Do you back up? Do you say something? When do you say something?
This is going to sound like somewhat cheesy, but I would say just always making sure that they know that you love them. I think that there's, because I think the worst part and why you kind of spiral is when you feel like, well, I've lost everyone in my life. So I think, because really beyond that, you know, there's not much you can kind of do.
But do you recognize, do I recognize that I know you're doing too much heroin?
I mean, again, I guess it would just be like when you say like, you know, everyone knows, like, yeah, I don't know that that is either helpful or not. I think people would know what you're talking about if you're just like, I just want you to know that my sense is that you're going through something here. I'm here for you, whatever it is. This isn't just coming out of nowhere. You know, you use it that kind of chaotic or the, you know, the harmful.
If I see you on heroin, when you're nodding at the bar, do I go, hey, it looks like you're going through something?
I think so. I think just being like, I'm here for you and I love you and there's no judgment here, I think leaves it as a space that you might then be someone in their life that they would want to reach out to or would, rather than the people who are more of the, like, you know, the tough love, like, any minute you might get thrown in a sack and in the back of a van as a intervention type situation. Like, you tend to avoid people that you think might do that to you.
I liked being, I think it was good that I was told, and, you know, who's going to say something, but, you know, Kenda did a bunch of times. So I hope this isn't offensive to her to hear. But if I wasn't told every so often, and I had what, you know, I called my low when I fell on the ground watching, you know, some kind of match at a bar, some kind of fight at a bar, and, you know, I'm just drinking, I'm sneaking in booze, I stand up, I fall, I'm like, well, now it's too much. I know I'm putting all of that other talk together with it. Otherwise, I would have probably been like, well, I guess it's not a big deal. It's a one-time thing. But it was no question it was a big deal.
I point out, same story, right? Because we're talking about me and how I've said, like, obviously you have a problem. It was when I stopped telling you had a problem that you stopped.
It's still good that you said.
Yeah.
I'm just saying for me.
It's good. So alcohol, tell them. Heroin, say you're going through something.
Okay. Yeah, I think that's true.
By the way, I just want to point this out. Henda's internet cut out again, but it's, tell me if I'm wrong, Murph, look at her face. It stopped. It happened to stop at what looks like such a disappointing look. Like,
it was. No, it was the perfect capture of that. Yeah, of that disagreement that was happening there. That was perfect. Yeah, I think going on record, I think.
Well, like, it's just, said, I just want to make sure. Yeah. I just want to make sure to not put everything on the person who is.
It's not their job. I'm just telling you what I like, Taryn.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's so,
yeah, it is an individual thing too, which is, you know, you got to kind of almost, if you know this person well enough, like if you knew Keith at the time and saying that to him, you know, like if you knew him at the time, you don't even know who he is anymore. if you knew at that time, it's like this person would, you know, because again, it still is that person through all of it, whatever kind of stretch they're going through in their life. It's still, you know, that person better than anyone if you're that concerned about them. So I think just kind of like playing that by ear in terms of who the person is. But, and I think there's a difference between mentioning it once so that you know, that they know, that we all know, that we can kind of like be there, but there doesn't feel like there's any shame. There's more just being like, I'm just letting you know that I feel like you seem like you're, you know, going through a rough thing. So I'm here for you.
Well, Keith announced his stopping to drink booze on the show. And by then we had already had a history, he and I personally, of talking about stopping, trying to stop, all this kind of stuff. A lot of it was behind the scenes, but a lot of it was like people were very clear about where I stand, where he stands. But he announced it on the show and I was like, okay, I get it. I happen to know that, like, it's very likely that you're going to relapse. When you relapse, I will understand. I will be the same person. And I'm here for you in the same way that I've always said that I'm here for you. And I think people thought, like, why doesn't Hamda care that he stopped drinking? Like, why is she being so cold about it? And it's like, no, I'm still me. He's the one who just said he's making a major change. I just want to let you know I'm still in this seat.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Look at that.
Yeah. And also you have to advocate. I mean, that's the other thing too, is like, I don't want to ever appear like, cause I know we've talked about this before on the show, is I don't ever want to even appear like, it's like, I think there's certainly going overboard. It's like, I never want people to say, you know, friends and family of people who are going through something, that it's all about this person either. Like we all kind of know, right, that there's, as long as there is love in the room, I think that's the difference. I think when the love starts to leave the room and it's very judgmental and whatever, but outside of that, it's like, no, you still have to also, yeah. Like what you're saying, you still need to be, you know, you're in the relationship with this person. That's a 50-50 thing. So you still have to be like, this is where I'm at in this. So you don't, it's not that you owe some sort of big, you know, show of something. If someone does, you know,
you're having an epiphany.
Absolutely.
I've been looking at this.
Yes.
Don't worry.
Yes.
Like, I'm still over here. Also, I know from going to Al-Anon that once people stop drinking or stop doing the thing that they're addicted to, it doesn't get better. The first year might be worse because now not only are they feeling the feelings that got them to do the addictive behavior, they now don't have the coding and the release of drinking, doing heroin, doing whatever. So now you have to be in your brain without your medicine. Yeah. That sucks for at least a year, maybe for the rest of your life. So, you know, congratulations, but you're about to go through it. And I'm going to go through it with you from a distance so that I'm not interrupting your process.
Also, next thing you know, you end up virtually fucking your dad. You know, there's a lot of emotions going on.
It's a whirlwind at that point.
Right. Murph, thank you so much for your time. Always a pleasure.
Yeah. So it's so nice to chat with you guys. Good to see you.
Congrats on your family.
Hey, thank you.
You having more?
I'm going to do heroin with my daughter soon. I'll keep you posted.
Are you having family ask you when are you having the second one? Like something didn't just happen?
Immediately. Yeah. I'm like, dude, you hounded us for how long? And now it's like immediately on to the next. I'm like, oh man, there's no fucking Satanist beast.
There's shit in this one's pants. Can I have 5 minutes?
Yeah. I'm still elbow deep in shit. Like she can wipe her own ass.
Right. I promise I love fucking your daughter. But can you just give me a minute?
Yes. No promises until she's wiping her own ass. That's
some of the stitches haven't been fixed. Could my wife have a minute? Like whatever.
Yeah, right. Yeah. This is
Jesus.
Yeah, I'm over here like, man, I smelt a diaper. This is for me, I can't. It's too much for me. I don't.
Thank you, everybody. Yeah, we'll be doing a Daddy Issues at the end of this week. It's going to be very fun. Meanwhile, if it's confusing, the whole story is at keithandthegirl.com/dad. All right. And with this show, that concludes season one of Keith and the Girl. Season two begins on Wednesday. We'll do accents or something. I don't know. All right. Bye. Keithandthegirl.com.